one shaila this week, and I haven't really figured this one out yet. So maybe, like, as we're talking about it, we'll come to some conclusion. This one is courtesy of my brother Shlita from Palo Alto, California, and the following case came up in Northern California, unless it was somewhere else that someone called my brother from. But here was the shaila. A fellow, we'll call him Reuven, because that's what you're supposed to call these people. So Reuven had a baby boy. It was his Reuven and his wife, and Mrs. Reuven had their first child, a baby boy, and therefore they need to do a pidyon haben, because neither Reuven nor Mrs. Reuven are Kohen or Levi. So Reuven tries to find out, where do I get the special coins, the silver dollars that I need for pidyon haben? And someone says, oh, Shimon has coins. You know, Shimon that sits next to you or behind you or in front of you in shul, your friend Shimon. So Reuven calls up his friend Shimon. He says, Mazel tov, we had a boy. I heard you have coins. I need to do a pidyon haben. Shimon says, no problem, but I'm not home right now. And if you want, and I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks. So if you want, just, any time over the next couple of weeks, just call the house, and my wife will be home, and one of the kids will be home, and my wife should be able to take care of it. So Reuven calls Mrs. Shimon. Mrs. Shimon says, sure, come over. Reuven says, I'm here to buy the Pidyon HaBen coins. Mrs. Shimon says, no problem, it's $61. Reuven takes out $61, pays Mrs. Shimon happily for the Pidyon HaBen coins, takes them home, goes and does Pidyon HaBen. So right away, happily ever after, right? Everything's great. And that's what Reuven thought as well, until he got a call from Shimon a couple of weeks later, and Shimon said, I'm just wondering, when do you plan on giving me back the coins? And Reuven says, let me give you back the coins. I bought the coins from you. He said, no, you rented the coins from me. You didn't buy the coins from me. I don't sell those coins. That's why I wouldn't still have them. If I sold them, I rent them. Shimon said, I was under the impression that I bought them. Okay, I don't really care. The $61 is not going to make me or break me or not. But if it was really a rental, what's the issue? I wasn't Yotzei the Mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. It needs to be my coins. In order to be Yotzei the Mitzvah Pidyon HaBen, it happens to be the Kohen had given back those coins. The Kohen did not keep them, so Reuven had the coins to give back. But if it's a rental, if they don't belong to him, then he's not Yotzei the Mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. So the question is, does he now need to do a new mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? And there are numerous issues and angles from which to look at this shaila. Yeah?
No, like sukkah,
Right. That's an excellent parallel, and we're going to have to talk about that. On Sukkot, you have to own on the first day your Dalet Minim, and therefore...
So I've done more here. I mean, I've even paid the impression. I mean, one side is not having that impression. We're giving it to the wife.
Okay. So we're going to have to see, what exactly are the rules over there? What are the... Matana Manasa Achzir. So you don't even need to go to Sukkot, because Matana Manasa Achzir is a Beferish Gemara in... Kiddushin, the very beginning of Maseches, toward the beginning of Maseches Kiddushin, that it works. That for Pidyon HaBen, Matan al Manas Achzir works. Why is this not exactly that? Because it wasn't a Matan al Manas Achzir. It was in one guy's mind the rental, and the other guy's mind the sale. It was this miscommunication. So I think there are the following five or six things that we need to think about, or angles to look at it through. First of all, what constitutes ownership with regard to Pidyon HaBen? So right off the bat, Matan al Manas Achzir is good enough, it seems, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen. Is a rental good enough? If you rent the property, you know, Rav Kahana Shakal Sudra, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, for Pidyon HaBen. He took a scarf or something as Pidyon HaBen. So let's say you rent the scarf. That's what Tosfos discusses. Rav Kahana, is he a Kohen? Is he not a Kohen? Because the Gemara says elsewhere that he was only able to get Matnas Kuna as a result of his wife, who was a Kohenes. But he himself was not Zocha to Matnas Kuna, presuming that he was not a Kohen, although he had the last name Kahana, so, or first name, whatever it was, he had the name Kahana, so it sounds like he's a Kohen. So Tosfos has a couple of approaches. One is that he was not a Kohen, the other is that there are two Rav Kahanas, one who is not a Kohen, one who is a Kohen. Okay, fine. But you see, let's say you rent the garment. So is that enough? And then you give it to the Kohen for Pidyon HaBen. L'chora, that is not enough, because You can't really give it to the Kohen then if it's not yours. You're not really authorized to give it to the Kohen. It has to be yours to be able to give in the first place. So what constitutes ownership of Binyan Ben? We also need to think about, you know, when Reuven called Shimon, he didn't say what kind of transaction it is. That went unspoken. Reuven just said, Binyan Ben, I need the silver dollars. Shimon said, no problem. But when Reuven came to the house to get the coins, he told Mrs. Shimon, I'd like to buy the coins. So how much do we consider Mrs. Shimon an authorized shliach to make the transaction under her terms? Meaning it may belong to Shimon, but if Shimon said my wife will take care of it, then maybe that's Shimon authorizing his wife to make the transaction as she sees fit. So that's another angle to think about. A third angle to think about is, do we believe Shimon that it was a rental? Do we trust his current statement? Now, why wouldn't you believe him?
So you can sell
it again. What? So you can sell it to the next person. Yeah, but I'm saying, what motivation would we have not to listen to what he's saying right now? Not to believe.
My ruling sounds beyond that.
Okay, but I'm saying in terms of... So, how much would you think, you know, to rent $5 for a day? How much do you think?
Much.
Right, not very much. $2, $5, $61 for a rental payment? You know, the money is sort of mochiach that this was not just a rental. On the other hand, the money is also mochiach that it wasn't really a sale, because if you buy the $5, I went online, I googled it, Pidyon HaBen money, so they have all these fancy coins that are made with real silver that you could buy for $300. But if you buy the $5, I saw online about $170 they'll charge you for it, which is way more than $60. The actual value is not anywhere near $170, but that's what they sell to you.
100% pure silver?
If you just use 150 grams of pure silver, so then it'll probably be worth about $100 or something like that.
Why are we looking at towards the wife? I mean, the guy's coming over and saying, listen, I'm here to buy the coins. She probably thought, like, oh, he must have talked to my husband about buying the coins, not renting the coins. So, okay, $61.
So the...
Very specific. Like,
good. Meaning, $61. You know, like, where did he come up with that? He must have come up with that number from somewhere. I mean, the wife didn't make up that number. Why would she make up $61? It must be the husband said, "This is, you know, Reuben's going to come. He's going to ask for the coins. $61 is what the cost is." Now, where did he get that number 61? And maybe that will be megala to us what he was thinking. The reason not to listen to what he's saying right now is that it's dvarim shabalev. If the money is mochiach, that it wasn't a rental, because who on earth charges $61 for a rental of a few coins? Now he says afterwards, oh, but what I was thinking was that it's a rental, not a sale. That's dvarim shablev. The transaction itself is mochiach, that it's a sale. And he has in his mind that it's a rental. We don't listen to what he had in his mind. It's purely dvarim shablev, yeah.
He also said that he was going to buy the coins, didn't he?
To the wife.
So
but not to the husband.
So what? She can't.
So that's the question. That was question number two, right? Is Mrs. Shimon an authorized shliach, or is she just the person who happens to be in the house?
But can she be a like proof or whatever against his word? Can she be the word for the husband? Meaning, he says that, you know, it was a sale or whatever. I mean, he's not agreeing, but I mean, can he say that? Can she say that? He said he was coming to buy the coins, and he's saying, oh no, I was only here to rent it, even though he said to her. Meaning, his word against her word on, is it a...
Who's with Reuven or Shimon?
Reuven's word against Mrs. Shimon.
Mrs. Shimon agrees that Reuven said he's going to buy it. There's no machlokas in the Matzias over here. But Mrs. Shimon says, I'm just, you know, it's not mine. I was just doing what my husband said to do. He said it's in this drawer, and this guy's going to come, pick it up, and tell him how much
he's going to come.
He said he's going to come, get the coins. Now, a fourth angle to look at, let's say Reuven has to give the coins back. Let's say it was a rental, it is not a sale. So is there any way that the pidyon can be valid if Reuven has to give the coins back? What? Well, because it's not. Meaning, if you're going to say he has to give it back, you're saying it wasn't a sale, right? So is there any way that could still be a valid pidyon? Fifth thing to think about. If the pidyon is not valid, let's say we come to the conclusion that the pidyon is not valid, can Reuven ask for his $61 back? Shimon might say, what do you mean? You rented that money from me. You had it for a couple of weeks. $61 is the charge. But can Reuven say, no, I rented the money. I'll das that I should be yotzei the mitzvah. And if I wasn't able to be yotzei the mitzvah, then I'm sorry, that's a mekach tos, and I want my $61 back. Furthermore, if the sale should be binding, let's say it's Dvarim Shemblev, we don't believe you, Shimon, that you wanted to rent it, it was clearly a sale. Can Shimon now come and say, you know, I sold it to you for $61 because I thought it was worth $61. But if you look online, it's worth like $175 or whatever it is that people charge for it. That's ona'a. And that's ona'a to the level of bitul mekach. It's way more than 1/6. So, yeah, the sale should have been binding because we both, let's say we count it like we both had in mind that it was a sale. Even if we did both have in mind that it was a sale, you just cheated me by so much. Or do we say, no, it's 2 weeks later, you're not going to be mevatel mekach 2 weeks later? How do we view that? And finally, if our conclusion is going to be, which it likely will be, that this is a suffek pidyon, that we're not sure if the pidyon worked or not, what do you do then? Do you just do another pidyon? You mean machmel chachila, do another pidyon? Savita raisa l'chumra? Or do you say, no, this is a din and din imamnis? Hamotzi mechavero lav haraya. The Kohen wants my money, let him bring a raya that b'no eino padui, that the pidyon hasn't been done. Right? Yeah.
What's the rule in general? The rule in general is that the person who had the child has to borrow the coins.
No. He has to give silver to a kohen.
So he has to give his own a silver that he owns. He has to give it or to a kohen.
The person who had the child has to get the right amount of money and give it to a kohen.
In return, that he will keep his child.
Meaning the amount of the amount of silver is, I mean, they do this whole song and dance where you have this whole conversation with the Kohen. What would you prefer more, the money or the child? And you know, you're supposed to say, well, I want my child, so then give me your money, okay? But you know, you don't really have the option. You can't really opt out. So the real amount is 110 grams of silver. That's the real amount that you need to give. It happens to be but we're machmir l'chavchila to use 5 coins because the Torah talks about using 5, right? So we dafka use 5 coins. It happens to be that 5 silver dollars have more than 110 grams of silver in them. They have more like 150 grams of silver, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, so it is what it is. But there's nothing wrong with that. You can give more. There's nothing wrong with giving more. You might even be able to give less. That's what the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about. That for Rav Kahana to get that sudar, even though it's worth less than 110 grams of silver, for him it's worth it. So what exactly does that mean? That it's worth it? It's worth that amount somewhere else, or he values it so much that for him it's worth that amount.
Can you pay cash?
So okay, we're machmir to give silver itself. There's major discussions in poskim whether you can pay cash or not. We don't do that. So we're machmir.
It seems like they use other stuff besides
clothes. Yeah, I mean they use the scarf. We don't do that. So we're machmir to dafka use silver coins, and silver dollars from the right years have actual silver in them. I'm told that there were several years in the 1970s, I believe, where they stopped putting silver in silver dollars, and there were a lot of pidyon habens that were invalid because of that, because there was no inherent value in those silver dollars, or not nearly enough inherent value. Rabbi Aryeh Cohen told me that he serves as a Kohen for Pidyon HaBen quite frequently, and because he has a lot of Talmidim, and he's a Kohen, and he sort of knows the drill, he's been doing it a lot. So he said one time the father of a child said, I want to use the same Pidyon HaBen coins that were used on my Pidyon. we still have them. The coin given back to my father. I want to use the same Pidyon Ben Kohen as used in my Pidyon. So let me see them. And he saw them. And he said, oh, not only are we going to not use these for your son's Pidyon, we're not going to use these when we redo your Pidyon, because you need a new Pidyon Ben as well, because these coins do not have enough silver in them. So you have to have a little bit of Yudias in that area. Now,
also, what about the guy said that he's renting out the coin, he rented the coin to him. He said, like, well, you know, I rent it out to people, being that I get it back.
We now need to track down whoever else he's rented it. Yeah. So my brother actually said, one of the guys, my brother's a Rosh Kollel, he said one of the guys in his Kollel figured out where the number 61 came from, where they got $61. How did he figure out $61? He checked the value of 110 grams of silver, and that's about right around $61. So clearly the guy, Shimon was thinking of the actual value of the silver. Now, he didn't realize, Shimon obviously didn't realize, that he had more silver than that in the five silver dollars. He thought, okay, I'm selling 110 grams of silver. He must have read in some article online or something that for Pidyon HaBen you need 110 grams of silver, and he quickly checked the silver prices, and that's where he came up with the number. Now, how does that help us? Yeah, it sounds like he really wanted to sell them, and now he wants to tell us, you know, I was renting them, but that l'chora would lead us more in the Dvarim Shebelev side of things. Now, here's the relevant halacha. There is a halacha in Hilchos Lulav, Simin Tafresh Nun Ches Ziv Gimel, says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein Adam Yotze Yidei Chavasel B'yom Rishon B'lulav Shal Chavero Sheish Ilo, Debinan Lechem. If you borrow a lulav in day one of Sukkis, you're not Yotze the mitzvah, it needs to belong to you. Mishalachem. Va'afilu Amrlo, Yehei Shalcha Achetetze Bovarchach Yehei Shalika B'tchila Lo Yotze. Even if you give us a kinyan lezman, this should belong to you until you finish being Yotze the mitzvah, then it will belong back to me. No good. Dahavi kamo shaul, that is like a bar lulav im naslam, but matana mutter, but if you give it as a matana, that's perfectly mutter. Says the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere, and this is critical, in Ebene Ezer, Hilchus Kiddushin, Simen Chav Ches, Se'if Yotes. Hashoel chefetz mechaveru. A guy borrows something from his friend. Vahodio, Sharot Lekadish Boisha. And he tells the person that he's borrowing from, oh, you know why I'm borrowing this ring? Because I want to be Mekadesh and Isha with it, Mekudeshes. If he uses it, even though it was he was borrowing it, Mekudeshes. Vimlav, if he didn't say that he was borrowing it for Kiddushin, Harehu Safek Mekudeshes. Says the Ramav, Vuadin Socher, Kleo Chefetz Mechavero Vikideshbo, same is true on a rental, even though you're renting it. But you say that I'm renting this so that I can perform a Kiddushin with it, Mekudeshes. Comes along the Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and Tafresh and Chesiv Kat and Tes, and puts the two halachas together. By lulav, you have a requirement; it needs to be lachem. So we said borrowing is no good. By kiddushin, we know it also has to be yours. One of the questions your Masada Kiddushin will ask you under the chuppah is: does this ring belong to you? Did you buy it with your own money? And you're going to say, hopefully, yes, right? Hopefully, you have the right answers prepared and that they're honest. Correct answers at the time. I remember at a wedding of a close friend of mine, a very prominent mechanech, Rav Shechter was a Masada Kiddushin, and he said to him, do you have the ring? And he thought about it for a second, and he said, no. He said, okay, what do we do now? He said, no, but I know exactly where it is. It was in the room where he got dressed, in the hall, so it was just a two-minute delay while they sent someone to go find the ring. But you have to have your right answers prepared. So the Mishnah Berurah puts two and two together. Mishnah Berurah says, on the one hand, by lulav, we say borrowing it's no good. By kiddushin, the halach is borrowing is no good. But if you borrow and you say I'm doing it l'shem kiddushin, is good. Why? Why should it be good just because you say you're doing it l'shem kiddushin? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Hamagen Avraham mochiach mehad deshol kli mechaver lekadosh boisha darmin yishim mekudeshes. The Magen Avraham is mochiach from the halach in Ebenezer Simon Chavches. Mishum da'aminon mistama nasan l'bimatana al menach slahachzir shiyachol kadesh bo. Probably, even though they used the word borrow, they didn't mean borrow. What they meant was matan al menas lahachzir. Why? Why do we assume they meant matan al menas lahachzir? Because he said he wants to use it for kiddushin, and it doesn't work for kiddushin if it's borrowed. It only works for kiddushin if it's matan al menas lahachzir. So clearly, that was your das to do it that way. Im kein huedin be'esrog im ishilu latzisbo havli kinu nasnol b'matana v'yatza. So he says, same as shubay and esrog. If he borrowed the esrog, so they can get the mitzvah. He didn't borrow the esrog just to admire it. He wants to get the mitzvah. So we it says in Magen Avraham, we have the right to make the assumption that it's matan al menas lahachzir, and therefore you're yotze. And that's from Feresh Gemara, that you yotze matan al menas lahachzir by esrog, right? That was the five rabbis on the boat giving in the esrog that Rav Gamliel bought for Elev Zuz.
What's Magen Avraham then? Playing to one along the other.
That's the Magen Avraham.
I'm saying, but the Gemara says that.
No, that matan al menas lahachzir works. Over here, they never use the words matan al menas lahachzir. He says, I'm borrowing your lulav.
The five rabbanim are all borrowing?
No. In that Gemara, it was matan al menas lahachzir. Chiddush of the Magen Avraham is, if you go to your friend and say, can I borrow your lulav to do the mitzvah? And he lends it to you, you're yotze the mitzvah. It's a huge chiddush against what the Shulchan Aruch says. Because we assume it's matan al menas lahachzir. So it's against what the Shulchan Aruch says. Beferi, Shulchan Aruch says, no, borrowing is no good. Says the Magen Avraham, yeah, that's if you know that they really meant borrowing. But if you tell him that you want to do it, l'shem the mitzvah, you have to know the halacha Eben Ezer and Ilchus Kiddushin to know that works. Unbelievable that the Shulchan Aruch would leave that out. But he assumed that you learned Eben Ezer also. Who only learns Aruch Chaim, right? So he assumes you learned Hilchus Kiddushin as well. The chen kasav of Beishmuel Eben Ezer Sham. Aval, says the Mishnah Berurah. Hataz, b'simin yud dalid. Why simin yud dalid? What's simin yud dalid about? In Aruch Chaim. Simin yud dalid in Aruch Chaim. Hilchos? Tzitzis. Hataz, b'simin yud dalid. U'b'shalos shuvus beis Yaakov. Poskim to lo yatza. They paskim that you're not yotzei. You're going to need to take again, but not without a bracha, just in case. But the Taz and the Beis Yaakov disagree. Why would this come up in the Tzitzis? No, then the Tzitzis have to be Lachem, is there? Talashu'ula is Patim, not Tzitzis. Certainly can't make a bracha on a Talashu'ula. So if you're borrowing someone's Talis, but you're borrowing it so that you can get the mitzvah. You come to shul, you don't have a talis. Can I borrow a talis? Those are the words you use. Can I borrow a talis? But you don't mean borrow. You mean, can I get the mitzvah with the talis? So you want it as a matan al menas lahachzir. You want it as a kinyan lizman. Something that you can get the mitzvah with. Taz says, not good enough. If you said borrow, you meant borrow. So the Taz would say, by the lulav, if you said borrow, you meant borrow, and it's not good enough. And he would say, by pidyon haben, if you said borrow or rent, you meant borrow or rent, and it's not good enough. So the Chora, this would be a subject to this machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Taz. Shar Tzion over there in Tavresh Nuches quotes that when you say that let it be yours until you yotzei, where the Shulchan Aruch had said that if you say let it be yours until you're yotzei the mitzvah with it, and then it will be mine again, you're not yotzei. He says hasam mishum to muchach milushonu behedya detchilas aknasa veinel lizman v'lavi kinyan gomer delikri lechem. Because it's clear that you're only making a kinyan lizman, and therefore it's not really his. But if you lend it, dafka latzesbo, we assume it's a matana al menas lahachzir. That's a matana gemura. Al menas lahachzir is just a tenai in a matana gemura, and therefore it does work. Yeah.
Is it possible? Like, the Achronim seem to be using all those three like general dinim after each other.
Right.
Is there any
room to be mechalek?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the Achronim didn't relate this to Pidyon HaBen. This is my brother's Ha'ara to relate this to Pidyon HaBen, which I think is correct. It's a correct Ha'ara. When I asked Rav David Willig this afternoon what he thought, he said, looking at Eben Ezer, you know, like he immediately thought of the Kiddushin case. So, right, so that's the machlokas. The Magen Avraham says that Tzukas and Kiddushin connect. Taz says no. Taz is molded to the halacha by Kiddushin because it says it in Shulchan Aruch.
What would be the reason to be mechalek?
So why would you be mechalek between Kiddushin and lulav?
Lachem.
I don't know. I'm not sure. You do have these questions come up sometimes with Kiddushin. You know, there's a family heirloom ring that people want to use to do the Maisa Kiddushin. So when the guy's borrowing the ring from Babi to use for the Maisa Kiddusha, so it always bothered me, because does Babi really understand that it's a matana? I don't know. Let's say he would say, I don't want to give it back. She would say, no, there's no, I don't want to give it back. You give it back, because your younger brother's going to have to use it, and your cousin's going to have to use it, and this, So, right, then it would be okay. Now, does the Kohen returning the coins, does Matan al-Masakhtir work for Pidyon HaBen? So that is explicit in Shulchan Aruch, except it's explicit seemingly in two opposite directions in Shulchan Aruch. The Simon of Pidyon HaBen is Yordea Simon Shin Hei, and Shulchan Aruch in Si'if Ches writes, Imratza HaKohen L'Hachzir Lo HaPidyon Rashai. If afterwards the Kohen decides he wants to give back the Pidyon, that's fine. Avalo yitenu l'Kohen al-Menas she'yachzir lo. Don't give it to the Kohen al-Menas that he gives it back to you. V'maskin v'hichzir lo. So now, keep in mind over here. Over here we're talking about a slightly different halacha. Our question was not about giving it to the Kohen al-Menas ha'achzir. Our question was, you became the owner in the first place, al-Menas ha'achzir. So that, for sure, we could relate to lulav and everything else. It's just about, is it yours, right? The question is, if you're going to have to give it back, then you had to have some deal with the Kohen that he's got to give it back to you. So can you have such a deal with the Kohen that he's got to give it back to you? So, Ava lo yitin, lo yitin hu le Kohen al minas sheyachzir lo. You should not do that. V'masakin v'yichzir lo. V'das Kohen ha'isa mitchila shalo le kabla al minas achzir. Ein b'no padui achigmar b'libo litin lo matana gemura. It's not going to work. If you have in mind, I want to give it as matana minas achzir, and the Kohen's thinking, ooh, I'm getting this money, and I get to keep it, so you're not on the same page as the Kohen, it's not a valid pidyon haben. If you're on the same page, and then he decides on his own, and it's a matana gemura, then he decides on his own to give back, that there's no problem. Shulchan Aruch then adds, v'lo yeh ha-Kohen ragi l'achzir l'kol. Shalom lahafs of the Shar Kohanim. Kohanim, it's not nice if the Kohen always gives back to everybody. You would think, what do you mean? That's super nice that he always gives back the coins. No, because a lot of Kohanim need the money for Pidyon HaBen. And it really helps them. There's many people have the minhag that they dafka do Pidyon HaBen with someone who is not in a high paying job, who doesn't make a lot of money. So, because it helps them out, if a couple of $100, that helps them. Or even if you want to buy back the coins from him, that's fine. So you'll buy him back and he'll make a couple $100 off the deal. Yeah. But if you're constantly giving it back, then the other Kohanim, it's like a lot of times, I just spoke to someone today, just had a baby boy this morning, he asked me for the names of Moalim, and he said that, with his oldest son, they used the Katzensteins from Washington Heights, they were living in Washington Heights, and when he called them to do one of their younger sons, Brisbane, now that they live in the Five Towns, so they were told, no, we're not going to go to the Five Towns. Why? Not Stam, because we don't want to schlep out to the Five Towns, but the Moalim in the Five Towns charge money. We don't. And it's really not nice to go and to, take away all their business. I had a similar thing. My wife had a friend, has a friend, Baruch Hashem, still alive, just not as closely in touch anymore, but many years ago, who was an NYU law school student. Now she's a lawyer. I don't think she works as a lawyer, but she is credentialed as a NYU law graduate, and she had like this obsession with the mitzvah of shatness. Like she loved shatness. I'm not loved wearing it, but she loved the mitzvah. So she got trained as a shatness tester. She has an NYU law degree. She doesn't need the whatever it is, the $12 to, I don't know how much it even costs to check for shatness, but she doesn't need the the few bucks that it costs to check for shatness. She just loved doing it. So she got a call from one of the shatness laboratories. Stop it! you're taking. If you're going to do it for free, then no one's going to be able to make money. And she respected that. That makes sense. That she had to charge a certain amount of money. Okay. Anyway. So avalaniim. He says Rashi lachsu b'chol pab. If the person is an ani, then you can always give him back the pidyon haben money. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, and by the way, matan al menas ha'achzir works. Wait a second. You just told us matan al menas ha'achzir doesn't work. How can you then, in the same sieve, Say that Matana Menas Laksu does work. So the Taz explains, and it's the Pashat Pshat, it's clear in Shulchan Aruch, that it's all about whether they're on the same page. Matana Menas Laksu does work as long as they're both aware that it's Matana Menas Laksu. But when they're not on the same page, then it's not going to work. Now this may be a problem with this Kohen, because, well, the truth is not, because probably Reuven and the Kohen both didn't know that it was supposed to be Amas Lahachzir, because Reuven thought he had purchased it and he wasn't expecting anything back. The Kohen wasn't expecting to give it back, right? So that's an interesting thing. Reuven really maybe had to give it back, but he didn't know that he had to give it back. So he had Das to give it as a full Matana, and the Kohen had Das to be Makabalit as a full Matana. So they were actually on the same page.
The
Kohen
maybe was selling it as a matana.
What do you mean selling it?
I mean, he was giving over Mrs. Shimon.
The Kohen
was giving over the coins to Reuven.
Giving back the coins to Reuven.
I mean, originally when he sold it.
No, it wasn't the Kohen that sold it originally. It was Shimon.
Shimon's not.
Whatever. I don't know what he is. It's irrelevant. Okay. Right, whether he's a Kohen or not. Now the question becomes, what about Ona'a? What about Ona'a? Meaning, now that we know that it was 61, where they got the number $61, if it was a sale, and we say Dvarim Shablevin and Dvarim, there was nothing about rental, it was a sale, so Shimon can say, yeah, it was a sale, and you cheated me, and that's why I want the coins back. And would he have a taina?
No, he evaluated the coins. He thought the value was $61.
So, yeah, look, when I sell you something, I could think whatever I want, but if I'm way off, and I didn't realize that I'm way off.
Nikola won the research where he got the money, got the number from the value of silver.
That was later, yeah.
So that shows that the value of silver is $61.
But that wasn't the amount of silver that's in those coins. The value of those coins is actually way more than $61. The value of 110 grams of silver is $61. That's 150 grams of silver. That's way more than a sixth.
Why don't we say it's the seller's obligation to do proper research before he sells something?
You would think, right? Says the Shulchan Aruch in Sim Reish Chav Zayin in Choshen Mishpat. So this is fun. We get to go to Choshen Mishpat, Aruch Chaim, Eben Ezer, and Yaradeya. We hit all four sections of Shulchan Aruch in this short one Shaila. What? Yeah, everything. And Masa Yachal Laksav Litva Ona Aso Bishtos Levatal Mekach Biyosim Bishtos Ad Kadeshir Litagor Lakrovo. If I buy something and I was cheated, I was overcharged for it, how long do I have to go back and return it? As long as it takes to get it assessed, to show it someone, get it assessed. Says the Shulchan Aruch in the very next Siv Ches. Bamedvar Mamurim Bilokeach. That's only by the Lokeach who has it. Sharei Amekach Biyado Umar Eyu. He has it. He could show it around. Avala Mocher. Choser ba'ona'a li'olam. Ve'ein tzarech lomar bebitul mekach. Certainly if it's more than a 60, batul mekach, he has an indefinite period of time. She'ni yodea d'mei zeh shemachar ad she'ir kamosa shenimkar b'shuk. Because he's not going to know how much it's worth until he sees something that's similar to it in the store and he can get that assessed. Now that's maybe doesn't apply over here, because what do you mean? It's $5 silver. Go online. You can get it assessed very quickly. So maybe this whole idea that the mocher has forever, because who knows when he's going to find that exact shirt that he sold to this guy? Maybe when it is very easily accessible information, we do put a deadline on it. Now, the mocher is claiming that, he's not claiming mekach tos in that sense, but it could be that he has the right to claim that. Now, what if you're mochel on the ona'a? Can you be mochel on ona'a? Yeah, sure you can. You could agree to charge someone way less than something's actually worth. You could agree to pay more, way more than something's actually worth, as long as there's no fooling anybody, as long as you know exactly what you're paying. I mean, you go to a ball game and you buy a soda, and they say, oh, for a soda, that is $5.75. I remember we went on a DRS trip once to a baseball, one of the stops was a baseball game, and there was a kid in the class who was not at all a sports fan, and they told him $5.75 for a soda, and he's like, no, a soda. like that. Like, he didn't even chop. Like, they're like, he's like, I didn't mean 3 2-liter bottles. You know, I meant like a drink of soda. So, like, he's like, do you know what they sell this for? Like, right outside this building? Like, are you even aware of what the? But if you agree to pay that, and you know what the prices are, but you know, it's part of the chavaya, it's to overpay for the souvenir cup, you know, whatever. So that's what you do. So that's perfectly fine. Now,
Shulchan is talking about overpaying. The same thing for underpaying?
Yeah. Same. It could be on either one. And the mocher will look at. Now, so let's say it's a suffix over here, right? Because can we say, we have this machlokas in the Mishnah Berurah whether you make the assumption of matana menasach here. You know, it could be not. It could be that the guy, you know, when he said... he said he wanted to sell it, now it's going to be a Mekach Tos, so you have to be careful about that. You have to be careful about Bittul Mekach, because he may want to be Mevatel the Mekach. So let's say it's a Suffolk at least. So what do you do? Do you say Suffolk Daraisa L'chumra, Pidna Ben Mitzvah Daraisa, or do you say Amotzi Mechaver Elav Raya? Says the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchus Pidna Ben, Simin Shin Hei Sif Yud Gimel, based on the Gemara Chulin Daf Kufla Medalam Beis, Mishu Suffolk Umuchayev Bepidyon. And normally the case is it's a Safik Bechor. You know, there's a previous miscarriage, this or that, a Safik Bechor. Safik Shulchayv B'Pidyon Potter, Shamotzi Mechavero, Alav Haraya, which is an interesting Chiddush. I would have thought not that way, but the Gemara says this way, that it's considered like a Dine Mamnis case. That's always the question. That's what the Gra, or Sachs likes to quote the Gra, and Shinhei talks about whether Pidyon Ben is Dinin Piron Chov, or it's a Dinin Mitzvahs Nesina. Anyone here of Saxus here? You have the Piron Chov or Mitzvahs Nesina. So, for example, like by Truma, so I have a mitzvah of Nesinas Truma. It's not just that I owe the Kohen money, so I just give him, there's a Mitzvahs Nesina that I have to do. So the Gra holds that it's a Din Piron Chov. It's not a Din Mitzvahs Nesina that you owe money. That it's a real din and din imamnus and the motzi mechavero alav harayim. So probably you don't have to, even if it is a suffix, you don't have to do it again. Also probably, if the guy wants to be comfortable with it, he's going to do it again without a bracha. When I asked both Rav Sachs and Rav Soloveitchik about this, they both thought, you know, I hate to tell a guy to spend, spend other people's money, and he's going to have to spend $175 on a new set of coins, you know, for a suffix. You know, I hate to tell him to do that, but if he could afford it, you know, you would tell him to do something like that. And Rosax also thought that in suffix, you would want to tell the person. What? Make din, you don't need to. L'chorot's at least a suffix. L'chorot's at least a suffix. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.